It's time once again for The Throbbing Hive. It's when we check in with John Moe, our man plugged in around the clock to the world of social media and the internet. The Throbbing Hive, if you will. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Steve.
So what do you have here for us this week? I understand we've been talking about Emmy nominations recently.
Yeah. I want to draw everybody's attention to the fact that some Emmy nominations went out to Netflix original series this time around.
Yeah.
This is a pretty big deal. House of Cards, which is this... An overwrought melodrama, I can say, of a political thriller show on Netflix, stars Kevin Spacey and Robin Wright. And there's actually, if you look closely at House of Cards, there are teeth marks all over the scenery because Kevin Spacey has been chewing on it so much scenery on this show. But it works, and people liked it. He got nominated. Robin Wright, who plays his wife, got nominated. The show got nominated. Arrested Development, which the reboot of, is a Netflix original. That got some nominations as well. And it's kind of a big turning point. I remember I was covering technology on Marketplace Tech Report a while ago, back when I hosted that show. And that's when a show called Lilyhammer was one of the first Netflix original series, starred little Steve Van Zandt, from The Sopranos and from the E Street Band, as this gangster in hiding in mobster, really, in hiding in Norway. And I love the show. A lot of people were unsure about it, but I'm a big fan of Steven Van Zandt and of passive-aggressive Norwegians because I come from a Norwegian lineage.
Uh-huh.
And what I heard at that time when I talked to people who follow streaming content and this kind of emerging platform was that Netflix needed a Sopranos. It needed a big breakout hit, and then it would be a real contender. And it seems like that's what they have with, it seems like they have two of those, really, with House of Cards and Arrested Development. And what I think is interesting, too, I've been watching Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, I've caught a little bit of that, too.
Have you seen this?
Yes, I have. Uh-huh.
Now, how many episodes have you seen?
I basically have just sort of been watching over the shoulder of my wife,
who's very, very into the show.
Yeah.
I had the same experience with this show as I did with the new Arrested Development, which is like, for the first episode or two, I'm like, I don't know how this is. I don't know if I'm going to hang with this entirely. And then you get really sucked in. And I think this is something that is kind of unique to the way Netflix does this, with putting all the episodes up at the same time, encouraging the binge watch. And so you're basically watching a 13-hour movie.
Yes.
Over the course of many installments.
Oh, and let me tell you, the binge watch absolutely happens. Do you participate in this?
I do the binge watch. Well, you know, if it's a show that my wife and I are both lined up on, then we'll measure it out over the course of several nights. If it's just me, then it's just a few late nights and blurry eyes.
It's a fascinating phenomenon because if it's one of these original series that you can stream and do the binge watch, it now basically lets you satisfy that urge, lets you scratch that itch that you couldn't before when it was just getting the CD sent out to you. For example, we would get hooked on things like True Blood and whatnot and be able to watch a maximum of 3 episodes at a time. And then, of course, have to mail it back.
And wait for the post office.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And now, I wonder why she's coming to bed at 6 in the morning. It's because of Orange is the New Black and stuff like that.
Well, I think it also gives the creators of the series a lot more freedom. They don't have to set up everything after, you know, if it's been a week since you've seen the last episode, you need the previously on clip. And you also, you kind of need to walk into the shallow part of the pool before you get into the real action. And now with a lot of these series, you can go a lot faster. And with Orange is the New Black, one of the reasons I love it is because I suspect it wouldn't have gotten picked up on traditional outlets because they're often sexist. And this is a great women's ensemble piece.
Well, you can only imagine that if it had been picked up, it would have had to have been changed considerably. You know, women's prison drama, it would have had to have been changed into something far more sordid and ridiculous.
Chained Heat style.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Deb's behind bars.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is just really exciting, I think, because it once again signals another real cool sea change, because, I remember the time when we were talking about original series being produced for things like Netflix, and I was like, oh, really? Is it going to be like, for some reason, my imagination was producing images of like foam core sets and, you know what I'm saying? You know, like the lowest possible production values, like really for real. And now here we are. It's a real thing, and it's legit, and it's getting Emmys.
It's at least Emmy nominations. Yeah, get nervous, TV networks.
All right. One more thing. What's the meme of the week?
The meme of the week is the drumming grandma of La Crosse, Wisconsin. this happened at a, this is a video that's gone viral, taken by the owners of a music store in La Crosse. And it's this woman who sort of shows up every couple months, white hair, older woman. They didn't know her name. She shows up and just thrashes Neil Peart style on the drums and then vanishes just like that.
Yeah, we have a little audio clip of Grandma here, actually.
Let's drop that. Now, as she's doing this, picture twirling sticks.
That's right. Exactly. She's twirling the sticks.
She's
and everything.
Twirling the sticks. And the video really helps. I mean, the drumming is competent.
Yeah, it's comparatively competent, but you really got to see it.
You need the cognitive dissonance of the white-haired old lady twirling the sticks. You know, this kind of made me sad because, of course, then an enterprising reporter had to track down who she actually was.
Mm-hmm.
She's 63-year-old Mary Vizda, I think is how it's pronounced. She's from Onalaska, Wisconsin, and she's not a grandma, actually. She never married. She never had kids because she's already married to rock and roll is why. But she played in bands from the time she was about 14 years old till she was 40 years old, and now she's no longer drums, has sold her drum kit.
That's a shame.
But still shows up to this music store.
Maybe she gets the ya-yas out that she needs to get out by going into the drum store, and they let her wail.
And then she's gone, like some sort of old lady Sasquatch drummer.
Sasquatch. She needs to get a band. People need to put together a band for her.
They really do.
Don't
this
you think?
Music store has a tremendous opportunity. All the musicians that probably come into this store line up guitar, bass, vocals.
Seriously.
And just, play some old classic rock.
I think
help Mary out.
It'd be awesome to see.
Rock the Garden 2014.
Right. She'll be our regional act. Thanks again, John, as always.
Thanks, Steve.
John Moe, he checks in with us Tuesday mornings to talk about the throbbing hive. It's 89.3 The Current.